In Austin, Texas, a city known for music, Alejandro Escovado stands out. The singer, songwriter, and guitarist is a beloved institution, but he's never quite made a name for himself beyond Austin city limits, if you please. Now that might be even harder. Mr. Escovado has been sidelined by a serious illness, but a group of well-known fans and friends has put together a tribute CD of his songs to help raise his profile, NPR's Felix Contreras reports.
30 miles outside of Austin, Alejandro Escovedo sits on the porch of a small building next to his new home. He hopes to build a studio here someday, but with his present dominated by unpacked boxes and his future uncertain, his thoughts drift to the past. He talks of his childhood in nearby San Antonio, where he was born into a close-knit, working-class family more under the influence of Mexico than the U.S. Yet he says he never considered himself a stereotypical Chicano.
I mean, what is that, really? I think from outside the culture, people saw me, maybe, you know, sometimes even within the culture, people saw me as being like a guy that was trying to be a white guy or something, you know. I don't think of myself as Chicano. I think of myself more about being part of everything, in a way.
After his family moved to California when he was 8 years old, being part of everything meant baseball, surfing, and rock and roll.
We were really into the English rock scene. Yardbirds, Pretty Things, Mott the Hoople, T-Rex, David Bowie, that stuff.
But Escovedo didn't want to be a musician. He wanted to make movies. When he was 24, he started to make a film about the worst band in the world. Surprisingly, he couldn't find a band that fit that description, so he formed it himself.
We were so bad. We used to ask people to come and tune our guitars. The audience would come and tune our guitars on stage.
They called themselves the Nuns. Despite the inauspicious beginning, the Nuns developed into a highly regarded band with a strong sense of mission.
We were going to do something different. You know, you really thought the world was going to change because of music and art and words, right?
No more heroes today. Just Sony and RCA. And the silver screen. And the magazines. That make you stop your feet. And make you scream and shout. Media control.
Escovedo went on to play in a string of acclaimed bands. Rank and File, The True Believers, and Buick McCain. But it was through his solo work in the early 1990s that he started to show the promise of a songwriter with a singular voice.
If I should die before I turn 46, lay me next to old St. Chris, dress me in my suit of blue, and my favorite picture of you.
Escovedo built a small but loyal fan base through countless tours playing shows that became legendary for their energy and sincerity. He also began to attract the attention of the music industry. But in 1991, Bobby, his wife of 13 years, committed suicide. She blamed the road. Alejandro was away more than he was home, and when he was home, he brought his road excesses back with him. Shortly after the suicide, he expressed his grief and his guilt in a record called 13 years. The title cut told the story from Bobby's point of view.
13 years I followed you. What do I have that isn't blue? 1,000 promises fall on me. You know the end of it, I can't see.
Back on the porch, Escovedo's thoughts drift to another death. A week before our conversation, his father passed away in California.
They were both just so devastating. I don't know, it's hard to kind of qualify one from the other. With Bobby, of course, you know, there's always that regret. I don't regret anything about my dad, but I do about that relationship with Bobby. I think with my father, it's just that he's your father, you know. He was always such a wonderful figure in my life.
Escovedo's father is the subject of one of his most ambitious projects.
How did you get here? By train, by truck, on foot.
By the Hand of the Father is a song cycle about Pedro Escovedo's journey as a young man across the border from Mexico to the U.S. Alejandro collaborated with playwrights and actors to create a combination of songs and drama that he took on the road.
Wave goodbye to Culiacán.
Wave goodbye.
Wave goodbye to Aho.
Everybody waves goodbye.
Wave goodbye.
Come aboard the train.
Wave goodbye.
Turn and wave goodbye again. Some go north, some go south, maybe east, some left out.
Last year, in the middle of a tour of the production, Alejandro Escovedo began vomiting blood. After his show, he was rushed to a hospital, where doctors told him the hepatitis C he'd been ignoring for 8 years had finally caught up with him. Hepatitis C is a viral infection that can lead to cirrhosis of the liver. He's been receiving treatment since then, but he says the treatments now leave him tired all the time. He can't tour, and like many musicians, he has no health insurance. After all of the other disappointments, he could be forgiven for being bitter.
Now I'm just kind of resigned to the fact that I've been very lucky to even make music, and I'm in a good place, I think. I wish I was healthier. Before I got sick, I felt really good about it.
Shortly after he became ill, a group of his friends came up with the idea for a tribute CD to help raise his spirits and money. Over 30 musicians recorded Escovedo's songs, including Lucinda Williams, the Cowboy Junkies, and his half-brother, percussionist Pete Escovedo. Ian Hunter of the English rock band Mott the Hoople also sings a song on the new CD.
If you found me lost on your porch one night, would you take me in? Would you hold me tight? Would you wrap a dream around my head in case I tumble out of bed?
Hunter says he hears an intense personal commitment in Escovedo's work, a commitment that goes back to the songwriter's days in the Nuns.
Songwriters, they tend to want to change the world and all the rest of it, even though, of course, they don't. And he's a very truthful, honest writer. He means it, and you can tell when you listen to him. And that's why everybody likes him so much.
Songwriter Alejandro Escovedo has collected a bunch of fans along the way.
He does hit a nerve.
John Cale, a founding member of the Velvet Underground, also sings a song on the CD. He says Escovedo is almost too good at what he does.
It's this nerve of really presenting something so simply that it's almost irritating. This problem is there and it's just not going to go away. It's going to sit in your head for a while. So there's this hypnotic element about the way he presents that problem.
I close my eyes and waste a wish. You know I gave you my very best. But it wasn't good enough. You took forever and all that could ever be.
She doesn't love you anymore.
Alejandro Escovedo says it's an honor to hear his old songs performed by such well-known and respected musicians. But he says neither he nor his career should be considered in the past tense. In fact, he says his illness has brought him a measure of clarity that has helped him put his life and his music into a larger perspective.
You know, they say that everyone should go through a near-death experience to kind of value life, you know, and to see how life just kind of really goes on and on and on, and nothing remains the same, and there's nothing to cling to, really. Attachment is really kind of, you know, an unnecessary act, really, you know, and so it's helped me quite a bit, actually.
Alejandro Escovedo insists he's going to beat his illness, and perhaps somewhere within the intense personal struggle are more songs. It's certainly happened before. Felix Contreras, NPR News.
But I just might break this time. Yeah, this time. Yeah, this time.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.